We continue the shir, Rabbeinu Zal's Sichei Saran, saying to Rabbeinu Zal, we come now to the third statement. Rabbeinu Zal says, again, we spoke about this the last year, about the greatness of Hashem. To speak about how great Hashem is impossible, because Hashem is Ein Sof, He is infinite. Hashem created worlds, explained then, too, we must repeat one item which is very important. There are four basic worlds. This world, Elam HaAsiya, which means this universe, the earth and all the planets, is the lowest of all creation. It is a material type of creation which is comparatively nothing compared to the upper worlds. The next world, Elam HaYetzira, is the world of the angels. And as we said, the smallest angel's toe is larger than all the planets in this universe combined. All the millions or billions of light years of space here are less total than the one toe of the smallest of angels in the next world. Third world is the Elam HaBriya, the throne of Hashem, Kaviyachol, if we can use that term. The fourth one is Elam HaTzilos, which means something that we have no conception in at all, far beyond our conception. These four worlds correspond to the name of Hashem, the four letters of Hashem's name, the Yud. First letter Yud stands for Elam HaTzilos, the top world. The first letter He is the Bria, throne of Hashem. The Vav, the angelic world. And the bottom last letter He is this bottom world, the materialistic world. Rabbeinu says that the greatness of Hashem is infinite because it's worlds upon worlds, creation upon creation, all this created by Hashem. Above all this is Hashem who created everything. And though Hashem is what seemed to be so distant, so remote, because this world is just a tiny speck, an infinitesimal speck of all creation, yet Hashem is not difficult, is not this distant from us. The kingdom of Hashem, the Malchus, is especially, specifically in this world. When we say Hashem rules over all these malachim, angels, and worlds, Hashem's Malchus is this world. The Sfida of Malchus represents the world of Asiya, this material world. But there are things that are happening, awesome, wondrous things that happen, that we can't even have any conception or understanding in. For example, there's a war going on a small, distant island in the Pacific. Or there is a storm or an earthquake somewhere in an African jungle that is uninhabited at all. Yet this is a major catastrophe, a major storm. To us, it means nothing. It's meaningless. Yet something is taking place, major proportions. Or there is a meteor that crashes in the skies against another satellite, things that are so distant to us, or things that are close to us. For instance, we have two tiny dots on this surface of creation, two human beings that are so small they cannot be seen if we look at them from above. These two human beings are very far apart from one another. One is in one city, the second is in a different city or a different continent, and slowly things transpire. Things occur, and they seem to be led like pawns along a certain path until they both come into contact one with the other. They meet, and after a period of time, they merge. They become one. They marry. All this is a special pattern designed through heaven to lead them to marriage, bring about the birth of a new generation. And these are things that are so complex, and so many, that it's impossible for any human mind to understand this. All this is done by Hashem, and therefore it is difficult to understand, for a person to understand even in the slightest, about the greatness of Hashem. And this, too, is something that Rabbeinu Zal stresses. This we must point out very clearly. If we have to go to battle for the sake of this item, then we're willing to do it, because we would not risk the most precious possession, and that is one's faith in Hashem, faith in the Torah. Though there are certain writers, speaking about Gedolei Yisrael, who wrote Sforim, who write in a philosophical tone about the Hashgacha of Hashem. Hashem supervises the world, everything that occurs in it, but they are loath to stress the point that Hashem covers every smallest item that exists. We explained once that if a breeze blows a leaf off a tree in a forest, and one little leaf that falls off a tree, they, speaking about bees, mefarshim, is a rishonim, so this is done by a wind that is malach avruchas, it's an angel. I don't want to repeat their statement, but I will say in the positive sense that when that leaf was blown off the tree, it was an act supervised, directed, and watched by Hashem himself. Hashem himself saw to it, ordered that leaf to fall from the tree. If something so small is an act of Hashem, surely larger items that affect a human being, human being's life, or the life of a nation, or anything else that pertains to any type of creation, is all seen, supervised, decided upon by Hashem himself. This is the greatness of Hashem. And of course, we come to the question as to, if so, why do we say always that Hashem prefers the service of a small mortal being? When a Jew stands and davens to Hashem, he comes into shul, he rushes his davening very quickly, puts on his tefillin, davens shacharis, takes it off, and runs out to business or to something more important, runs out to eat. He couldn't wait to get through a davening so he can eat breakfast. And for this short service, Hashem looks forward to and wants this more than all the heavenly songs sung by the angels in heaven. Imagine when you have angels, Beit Hazal described one angel, one single angel who possesses 1,000 tongues, and every one of these 1,000 tongues has 1,000 notes sung simultaneously, 1,000 melodies, and this angel sings, harmonizes. Imagine what a thrill, how ecstatic a sound this is. And there are many like that. Many meaning there are thousands, millions, and infinite number of angels. All these rise up to give service, songs to Hashem. And all these angels combined are not as desired by Hashem as one single Jew, an ordinary Jew who comes to daven. Why so? What is the reason, aside from the fact mentioned always that an angel serves Hashem because he understands he has no Yitzhahara to stop him? There's nothing to repel him, whereas a Jew has a free choice, a bechira, and therefore the Jew's service is one that is more valuable. It's an actual service. Aside from this, a much deeper reason is that in reality, this angel's toe might be much larger than the whole planet Earth, or larger than the whole universe. That's his toe. But this Jew has a heart, he has a mind. In this Jew's heart and mind is a soul. And the soul of that Jew is far greater than the angel's toes and heads and all the angels combined. Because where that angel came from, where he originated from, a Jew's soul originated from a still higher point. So therefore, we look at a Jew as one with a body, 248 organs, with a stomach, and with an appetite to fit the stomach. But in fact, there is within this Jew a soul, a neshama. A neshama that is so precious, kaviyochel, it comes from, it is actually a part of the Shekhinah, part of Hashem himself. And that is why the avodah, the service of this Jew, is so important. Now about this, the Ben Adol says, a Jew has no person, has no conception, no understanding. To go further, the Ben Adol says there is something that we call tachlis. Tachlis means the goal, the apex, the highest point in comprehension, the highest point in wisdom. A person strives for wisdom. He goes higher and higher. Is there a limit? Can a person reach the highest point of this wisdom? There is something called the tachlis hayidia, greatest point in knowledge available, achievable by a human being. What is that tachlis hayidia? Asher loy neida. Tachlis is when a person reaches a point When he finally realizes, truthfully, that he does not know, he does not understand, he has no knowledge whatsoever, then he has reached the point, the apex of knowledge. A lot of people today would say, I've got the apex of knowledge, because I don't know anything. A lot of them say that. But that's speaking about those who really don't know anything. Speaking about those who have gotten such a high degree of knowledge, knowledge in Kedusha and holiness, that the higher they go in the heavenly knowledge, they get to the point where they understand that all this heavenly knowledge and all these angels and different worlds are nothing compared to Hashem. Then they realize they are literally nothing. That is, means they've covered all of the knowledge there is to cover, and they've gotten to this point of zero. The upper point, the top point is zero. And this, the Benedict says, can be achieved only if a person has also a characteristic quality, quality of humbleness, humility, shiftless. He has no conceit whatsoever within him. Then he can achieve this point of tachlis, tachlis of yidia. Even then, a person who says, I've reached it, I've gotten to the top, and that's it, that person too is mistaken, because there is still another level. He's reached the top of the knowledge available to him. Top is, he knows that he knows nothing. Now from there on, there's a new level above of knowledge. We can go above that, go still higher, reach the top of that one, and get to the point also the tachlis shleinigo. So there is higher and higher, so the person can never say he's reached the goal really. He reached the point of lein neida, but only in this one category, in this one space, this one area, he reached the goal. There are different areas you haven't touched yet, and the number of areas are infinite. That's why a tzaddik, a true tzaddik, continues to study perpetually, continual. Let's take the case, or reveal the case of Meshed Abedin. Dablon shel kol Yisrael. Rebbe of all Jews who knows, who knew, knows more than any other Jew alive. But Meshed Abedin received at Har Sinai the entire Torah Kedusha. Everything that we find in the Torah, Chumash, the Gemara, this is all the word of Hashem. All these Sfarim were taught to Meshed Abedin. Not only that, but there are Sfarim that are written later on. We have the later Paiskim, the Rishonim, Achronim, the Shulchan Aruch written later on. We have Sfarim written today. Abedin is all Sefer, Nos is all Sfarim. These are Hashem Tov. All these, the Gemara says, were taught to Meshed Abedin by Hashem. So he knew everything that he knew, plus everything that others would know. His knowledge encompassed all knowledge that was and will be in the future. Same time, does that mean that he reached the peak of knowledge, that that's the end? Zohar Kodesh says that in Gan Eden, in the yeshiva in heaven, there are actually stories told about Meshed Abedin speaking with the rabbis of the Gemara, who had passed away already, or in the Shomas Ring in Eden, they discuss certain aspects of Torah. Questions asked, questions that are brought up, new questions, new ideas, they are discussed and they arrive at new answers. Something that is novel, something that was not mentioned previously. And this is done perpetually. They don't sleep there, they don't eat there, so they continue to study the Torah, bring out new ideas every single minute for the entire 24-hour period of a day and night. That was a long time ago. Shmi Choyzel and Zedek Kodesh was 2,000 years ago. They are constantly continuing to study Torah. To this day, we find stories of the Baal Shem Tov Arizal who went to heaven to visit the yeshivas and had the same experience of learning more and deeper knowledge in Torah. That means then that there is a perpetual, a constant, an endless study, bringing out new ideas, new depth in the Torah itself. Which means then that there is no such thing as getting to the end. Meshed Abedin himself is getting new ideas, new knowledge, new to him himself too. We find in the Zohar Kodesh, Meshed Abedin said, he himself asked the question, he asked it of, in the yeshiva of heaven, and a voice in heaven replied to his question. And even Meshed Abedin too can learn from heaven. Who is the Rebbe of Meshed Abedin? Hashem. So we have this constant study of Torah, constant knowledge. But again, though, this is dependent upon a person's shiflus, person's modesty, his being modest, his being humble. Then he can reach the point, a top point of zero. Now, zero means the person considers himself nothing. We are nothing whatsoever, not even ashes, as Avraham Avinu said. A person is nothing. He becomes part of this ayin. The ayin is the kesser, the crown of all holiness, Hashem Ein Sof. And that's how he becomes merged with this holiness and becomes the top, reaches his top level. Rabbi Elazar says, to elaborate on this, we have a Teirin Kutamadan, Benazal's own words, which would shed a lot of light from this to the state that Benazal made in Sichas Adon. Benazal says that when a person would know, when a person reaches that point of knowledge, where he understands that everything that ever happens to him is only good, it's for his good, the person becomes sick, the person suffers, the person has pain, it's for his good. But we don't understand that, because our knowledge is not that high. The person who does get to that stage, we understand this, and this knowledge is in the category of Elam Haba, future world Gan Eden. Person has reached Gan Eden if he can understand everything is for his good. Why? Because there's a pasuk in Tumah which says, "B'Hashem Ahalel Dabar, Elikim Ahalel Dabar." Hashem is kindness, is goodness, is good fortune. Elikim is doom and harshness. Hashem Ahalel, I will give praise to Hashem. I will give thanks to Hashem for the kindness of Hashem, and Elikim Ahalel, give thanks to Hashem too for the harshness. Why give thanks for it? Because I'll realize that what appears to be harsh is actually good. It's wonderful. Person is sick. He is not being hurt. He's being cured. The neshama has stains that are being erased through the sickness. The neshama is enjoying an eternal bliss because of the sickness. The person doesn't understand it, but if he does, then he has a contact with his soul, with Gan Eden. Now, this too is what's meant by the pasuk says, Bayim Hahu. You say it every day. That day, in the future, Yihya Hashem Echod, Ushmai Echod. That day, when Mashiach comes, that day, in Elam Haba, in the future, Hashem and his name will be one. Hashem means always Hashem Chesed. His name, the name is Elikim, Dim, will be one. Echod means that Hashem, Elikim will be Echod. Echod, Rabbeinu of Zimatria, Ahava. Ahava means that Hashem and Elikim treat a person only because of Echod, because of Ahava. Why does Hashem give a person money, health? Because Hashem loves that person. Why does Hashem Elikim hurt the person? Because Hashem loves that person. Hashem does it only out of Ahava. So both Hashem Chesed and Elikim Din are Echod out of Ahava. But that's Bayim Ahu, that's Elam Haba. Person has to strive to reach that, to understand that now. And this is what we said. This takes what? No, this takes the true knowledge, the true Das, the true Chochmah. Because what is Das actually? What is the sphere of Das? There is Chochmah, Bina, or Das. Does Das exist separately? Das means a combination of Chochmah and Bina. Chochmah, Chesed, Bina, Gevura, Din, Chesed and Din, Das combines both. First of all, Das knows that Chesed and Din is one. Yi Hashem Echad Ushmai, and both Chesed and Din are one. This is the true Das. And this a person can be Zechad, the Rebbeinu says. How is a person Zechad that is Das? Only through Tshuva. Person does Tshuva for his sins, and he says Vidui, Vidui the one of these, confesses his sins before Hashem, before the Tzadik Emes. Vidui means that he pours forth his heart, he lowers himself, embarrassing himself, turning himself into nothingness. He's revatal himself. This way, by saying vidui and doing tshuva, he's returning the malchus of Hashem, bringing malchus Hashem back. Back from where? The person commits sins, he takes the kingdom of Hashem and lowers it, drives it out, he expels it. Because when a person commits sins, it means he does not accept the kingdom of Hashem upon himself. So he's bringing the kingdom, the Shechina, Ishkina the Malchus into Goas. Having it out in exile, this sin bringing Ishkina out to Goas, when the sin is corrected, person through tshuva and through vidu perfects himself, accepts again the rule of Hashem, that means that he's bringing the Malchus of Hashem out of Goas, returning this Malchus to Hashem. What is this Malchus? Malchus is Din. Malchus is Elikim. Returning Malchus Elikim to Hashem, which means to make Hashem Echad Ushmai. His act of tshuva combines Hashem Ushmai, bringing the Malchus Din back to Hashem to Chesed. With this, he achieves the Das, the idea, the understanding that all is good for him. With this, he achieves the feeling, the knowledge of Elam Haba. Nosodol says, with this we can understand, what's meant by davening? What is tefillah? You come to daven before Hashem. Note, these all explain that there are four divisions in tefillah. These four divisions we daven every day. We just skim over it quickly. The davening is divided into four parts. First, we have the kabonis, the brachas and the kabonis. That's the beginning. And that corresponds to this lowest world, Olam HaAsiya. Then we go into Oroch Shomar, the Psukka de Zimra Tilim, which corresponds to Elam HaYetzida, the world of the Malachim, who sing these songs to Hashem. And then we go into after Baruch Hu, where you have the Brachas of Kriya Shema, and Kriya Shema itself, that's Elam HaBriya, the throne of Hashem. Throne means sitting, that's why you must sit after Baruch Hu. And then you go into the highest world at Sibus, Shmon Esrei. That's above the worlds, the highest of all the worlds. The davening corresponds to these four. Now, with the davening, not a tzaddik, but the regular Jew who davens, this in this order, his neshama rises from one world to the next. Kaviyachol, for that moment, he goes up so high, and he reaches the peak, which is the peak, after Shmon Esrei. Then he reaches the peak of Bichul, because then, what comes after is we have vidui, confession, and the filas hapayim. He puts his head down, which means he's feigning, pretending death. It means he's given himself up completely, surrendered himself to Hashem. He has made himself completely void, non-existent. He reached the peak of nothingness, peak of ayin, peak of bitul. So that's how he's gotten to the top level, which means passing away into the future world. Now, Nosodol says that we have to note between these elements, going from one to the other, what do we hope to achieve? We rise up. We purify ourselves, we do tshuva to bring the malchus back to Hashem. How do we do that? Because between each one, going from kabbalas to haidu, we have a kaddish there, kaddish rabbon. Going from sukkah de zimra, yishtabach, to the brachas, we have again a kaddish, kaddish and baruchu. There's a kaddish between each one, which means that at that moment, we have accomplished something, we bring together the names of Hashem, Hashem Elikim, which is the pious Hashem Elikai Gadalta Miyot. The greatest name is of Hashem to bring these two together. Hashem, Chesed, and Din together. We say Yiskadal, Yiskadash, Shemei, Rabba. Rabba means the greatest name of Hashem, because Rabba Begimatria, Hashem Elikim, which is Yud and K, Hashem and Adne, which is Vav and K, the upper and lower part of the Shem with Hashem, that's Rabbo. You got the Rabbo, Yiskadal, Yiskadash, may they become great and then and heighten the Kedusha of Rabbo, the name of Hashem, which is so Rabbo. Well, what happens with the Malchus, when the Kim, the Din is brought together with the Chesed? And that is done after we complete each level and go to the higher level. Note that we get to the highest level, we go from Bria to Atzilus, from Kriya Shema to Shmon Esrei, there is no Kaddish there. Because Shmon Esrei means we've got to the Ein Sof, we become completely nullified and void. There's no necessity then to elevate ourselves because that is the peak. That is the raising a Kedusha to its highest level. That is the Rabbah itself, Elam HaKsibus. But all this can be done only if a person purifies himself, if he does tshuva, if he says vidui, this way, a person has been entitled, is able to reach the new level, the level of Kedusha, where it is a part of Elam HaBa. This is what the Benazel says here too. Tachlis hayedia shelo neda. Neda means then that a person gets to a point where he is ayin keser. He is so high, he's gotten to the top of the levels, the level of atzilus. But from there, there is a new area which he must first begin to enter into. And this a person can do, serving Hashem forever and ever afterwards. Of course, this is a very big order, but there's no limit to where a person can begin. No matter how low we are, we can still serve Hashem on our level and be accepted by Hashem with Ahava. Hashem has Ahava for every single Jew. And if any Jew, no matter how bad, wants to return to Hashem, he is always welcome, will be accepted by Hashem without question. Benazal adds in this same paragraph, go back to this third paragraph, Benazal says in the same sentence, the same paragraph, that also a person should attempt to understand the greatness, the importance of tshuva. Tshuva is so great, repentance is even greater than the kedusha of the Torah. We explain that Torah is tefetis, and tshuva is up, further up in Bina. 50 degrees of Bina, which means tshuva. What is meant by tshuva? Why is it greater? To understand it very simply. Because the Torah is din, mitzvah, it's din and laws. Now the din states that a person commits a sin, he has a sin to his record, he has a penalty awaiting him. A person who commits a sin, the Benazal says that this sin, which he did, he committed, becomes engraved on his bones, becomes engraved on his neshama, on his soul. And that stays there, and this avenges the mitzvah itself. The sin itself is what punishes the person. So a person did this. This is the law. The din of the traitor is that he must pay for his crime. That's din. Tshuva is higher. Tshuva is so great that tshuva can take this very same sin, this very same crime, this very same din of Torah, and it's more powerful, take this and invert it inside out and change, transpose this into a new item, a new being, a new creation. This sin now becomes a mitzvah. Person performs the mitzvah of tshuva, repentance, to Ahavas Hashem, every sin that he committed is now changed to a mitzvah. For example, if the person was told, do not break the Shabbos, it's the most important mitzvah in the Torah, and he is mechal on the Shabbos. He violates the din of the Shabbos. He has that sentence now engraved on his bones. If he does tshuva, le'avo, he now has that sentence is turned around as saying that this man broke the Shabbos, the word is changed. This man did not, he obeyed the Shabbos. He has the credit for the highest mitzvah possible. So a person through tshuva can actually convert the entire Torah, all these sins in the Torah, to mitzvahs. So high is the power of tshuva. Of course, it's difficult to understand. Torah is so great. Torah is the word of Hashem. It's part of Hashem. How can you take something? What power is there that can change this whole, all the dinim of Torah? Benazal asked the Benazal this question. He asked, how is it possible for a person to take the words of Torah, which is the highest kedusha possible, it's part of Hashem, it's the treasure of Hashem, with what power can he take this and erase it, erase the sins that he did? How can he find favor in the eyes of Hashem, who commanded him, and he violated the command of Hashem? Benazar replied, a person can do this only, specifically through crying out to Hashem, tefillah, tefillah etzata, to cry to Hashem and cry so long, so endlessly to Hashem, will find a warmth, a compassion to take the person back, to return him. But this requires a person's never giving up hope. This was the main lesson that Benazal taught, the main lesson he's famous for, the main lesson which shows the greatness of Benazal himself. But there are no conditions for the Jew ever give up hope. A person feels in himself that these words are said for all Jews that have committed some kind of sins. They could do tshuva. They did biggest sins, smallest sins, but not me. I've gotten so far away from Hashem. The person feels that the number of sins I committed are irreparable. There's no way to repair this, to correct this anymore. This does not apply to me.
That's the error Ben Ezra warned against. No person should ever say, this does not include me. No person should ever, chas v'shalom, fall into yish, into a loss of hope, because that is the worst possible crime of war. A person should know that continue to daver, to pray, to cry to Hashem, your tefillahs will be answered. Because Hashem wants that. Hashem wants the Rosha, the evil person, to return to him, and Hashem will accept him. In fact, Hashem stretches out a hand to bring back the Rosha. Atanis and Yad Lapeshim. Kaviyach, Hashem stretches out his hand to bring back who? Not the small sin of the Chayte, one who committed small sins, not the Mezid, but the Peshim. Peshim means one who committed sins for spite. He rebelled against Hashem. That person that was so spiteful, so evil, Hashem wants that person back specifically. So no person is exempt from this rule. No person could ever say he's gone too far. He cannot go too far because as far as you go, no matter how far it is, the kindness of Hashem is still further and still greater. It will outshine, outnumber, outmatch anything you can ever perform in evil. There is more kindness to Hashem. If a person keeps that point in mind, then he is certain to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva, come back to Hashem, to be accepted by Hashem, and to find that he's in the good graces of Hashem forever afterwards. This is the third paragraph.